And everyone see?
Yeah.
Great. Just want to make sure I wasn't in front of it. So, as those of you who've been here in recent times will know, I've been like working through this passage in Acts 2, which is really important for us to think about, especially when we're heading into like our breakfast time next week. We're generally thinking about, what does it mean to be church? What has God called us to? How should we be spending our time looking at all these different kinds of things? So I just want to recap what I've talked about so far. So today, we're going to be looking at Acts 2, verse 46 to 47, and I've called it, How Can I Intentionally Live in Daily Community with Jesus at the Centre? So, one of the things that I keep on saying every time, recapping on, because I think it's really important, is that every generation in every culture needs to work out what it means to follow Jesus, and we do that through grappling with scripture, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and experimentation. You know, we don't have to get it all right and have this perfect plan that if it's of God, of course it's all going to work out perfectly. That's not how it works. We work it out together and with God, and we have a go and we experiment, we see what works and stuff. And an example of that in Acts 15, which for those of you who have read that, that's about the early church trying to work out people who weren't Jews becoming Christians. What should they do? Do they have to be circumcised? Do they have to do all these different things? So it's looking at that. So that's what we all need to be engaged with. And that's why I keep on saying it over and over again, because all of us have a part to play in that. It's not for a few people. It's for us all to engage with that. So far, my first talk was looking at the things that the early church devoted themselves to continually: apostles' teaching, fellowship, communion, and prayer. And so those are the kind of things that we should be devoting ourselves to. My second talk was talking about living in awe, seeing signs and wonders, looking at how when those things happen, it's like God is already there, but it's like in our minds he breaks in and we suddenly see him more, that causes us to know more who he is and encounter him more. And then it's like we see him more all around. And so we want to be seeing those signs and wonders happening. There's times when the power of God is really breaking in that almost enables us to see that he's here already all the time doing stuff. And that the awe that gives us when we see, wow, God is here among us, our response to that. And then the last talk I did was talking about, you know, how can we live together and share our stuff, you know, reading the passage how they had everything in common, they sold things to give to those who need, and exploring what does that look like for us. And I know, which is always very encouraging for a speaker, that some of the small groups have been discussing this. It's like the best thing ever if that happens, from my perspective anyway. So, you know, if anyone wants to share anything that you've come to in your small groups now, please feel free. I know I'm putting you on the spot, so you might not be able to think of it.
Sure.
But sorry, that maybe that's not really good, putting you on the spot. But yeah, no, let's keep talking to each other about these things. Okay, so so that's the bit that we're going to be looking at today, but I'll just read the whole passage once again. So, Acts 2, verse 42. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So, this is the bit we're going to be looking at today. So this question that I'm going to keep on asking, because I feel that this is what the Holy Spirit is wanting to challenge us as individuals and as a community, of how can I intentionally live in daily community with Jesus at the centre. And, you know, that's the thing that really strikes me as we read these few verses, is the fact that it wasn't like this was a one-off event, a one-off Sunday meeting, which, you know, I know we're not really into that at the journey anyway, but, you know, this was a daily event, this was a lifestyle, this was the way that they were choosing to do their lives. And in that kind of environment, God was moving. And that's something for us to consider. What, you know, it's like when people are together, living together in community, close with each other, that often is the kind of environment that enables the Holy Spirit to be doing more stuff. And so I want us to kind of think about some of those things. And I'm going to kind of share a few of my own thoughts and experiences so far, just for us to consider. The first one that obviously stands out in these verses is they were of one mind. Now, let's just consider how they got to that place. Now, being of one mind doesn't mean to say that you have to think exactly the same thing as each other, but there's like a unity, a place where you come to, where you are moving together in the same direction. And I was thinking, like, how did they manage this? Because, you know, you can try and get unity by being heavy, although it might not seem that way, kind of controlling, being like, right, everybody must believe this certain way and must do this certain thing. You can do it that way, but I don't really think that that is God's way. I think the reason they were of one mind is it came from spending time together, talking, growing, experiencing things together, that as you grapple with different things together, you work out together what you think about stuff, you respond together to experiences that you're having. But in doing that, and in that kind of conversation, that's how the one mind emerges. And so I wanted to bring this out, because I think that we do this already to some extent, but we want to do it even more, that actually, as a church community, we want to be of one mind, but we do that by all of us engaging, talking, working things throughout together, responding to different experiences that happen, responding to the things that the Holy Spirit brings to us. So, you know, obviously when we started the journey, we were focused on students. That was a certain way. And then over the years, different things have come to us, you know, as we've been part of this village. Different people have come to join us. We've had these new opportunities that have come to us through the hub and through the things that we now have the privilege of being involved in, the Forest Estate. That changes the dynamics for us. That changes how we spend our time. You know, it changes all kinds of things. And so as we grow through these things, there's something about us all talking about those things and working them out together that will keep us of one mind. And so I just want to encourage us. I just feel that that's the kind of thing that makes me feel passionate, of that kind of a church where people together are working it out. And I feel like that's the most effective way. I'm not interested in being part of something where... Emma, help me. I'm like the annoying teacher. It always used to happen when I was, you know, I don't have the experiences at school at university. I never know how to work the equipment. I lost my train of thought. Yeah, you know, I'm just not interested in being part of something where someone is telling everybody what to do, and you know, it's like, this is the party line. You know, let's work it out together. Sorry. Interesting, they went to the temple daily. Obviously, that was already part of their lifestyle, of what they were doing. I'm not suggesting that we should have church meetings daily, please, here. I'm just saying that they were together daily. They obviously hung out at each other's houses and they ate meals together. So those were some of the practical things that they actually did that enabled this togetherness to happen and for this sense of one mind. And obviously, you know, many of us live in Enfield Green, so geographically that enables us to maybe see each other more naturally. We spend time hanging out, we have our Sunday times and our small groups. and just all the natural things that happen. But it's us thinking, how can we intentionally be growing together and spending time together to help us move forward together in the things that God has for us? And I love the fact that all of our small groups eat together, because I think that's so important and such a precious thing. But so that's the first thing for us to consider. So keep on coming back to that question: how can I intentionally live in daily community with Jesus at the centre? And, you know, when we started the journey, that whole thing of doing life together was so important to us. You know, the four of us who started it, we all moved into a house together on Harvest Road. And initially, in those early times, everything was kind of centred around that house. Obviously, it was students who were part of us, they would hang out with us at the house. But that really enabled us to build that strong foundation and to grow together. And just naturally, you know, talking about God, just having fun and doing normal daily things of life that you do. And so, you know, I just feel that that's really important for us to keep on intentionally doing those types of things through the different seasons of life that we find ourselves in. The next thing that stands out to the kind of community they had, you know, we kids like just hang out together and have lots of fun, and that would be great. But obviously, we want Jesus to be at the centre of it all. And, you know, it was clear that Jesus was at the centre of this community. You know, they weren't just simply hanging out, but we see that in things in this passage, in the fact that, I can't seem to get this thing right, sorry. Anyway, there we are. Okay, you know, they took communion in their houses. You know, obviously we're trying to be much more intentional than we have been up to this point of taking communion together on a Sunday. But, you know, it makes me, when I've been thinking about the fact they took it in their houses, you know, actually, maybe sometimes it'd be quite nice just to take communion together when we're hanging out or something like that. I'm not saying we have to do that, but, you know, recently for me, I've discovered a whole new thing out of communion that I have not experienced before, of really having more, understanding more what it's all about and how it brings us, helps us to remember Jesus, to connect with him, and just how important it is. And so, you know, that was one kind of thing that they used as they were together in their houses to help them remember Jesus. Obviously, it talks about them praising God, and the attitude of their hearts was gladness and sincerity. And I think those, to me, are indicators that Jesus was really at the centre of their community. So, you know, that's another thing. We just want to kind of, I don't know how we make sure that Jesus is the centre of our community, but just be mindful of it, that this community is built around Jesus. You know, we have great friendships together, but that's not all that it's about. It's about, it's centred around Jesus, us loving him, following him. That's what brings us all together. I know that what I'm saying is very simple, but sometimes we just need to re-emphasise the simple things, because following Jesus can become more complicated, and it's really not. And, you know, I was just thinking, like, I was thinking about this kind of community thing. I just want to chuck in a couple little stories as I'm sharing these different things, is that, you know, university is a great natural thing that happens in our society of building community. You throw loads of people together, they're living closely together in halls, you know, studying together. Like Royal Holloway, because it's all kind of mostly on one campus, it's a real, like, great place of community. So, like, for me, my experience of going to Royal Holloway was really positive for that, because, you know, you've got loads of friends, you see people all the time, you're in and out of each other's rooms. In that environment, I thought, wow, you kind of see how in a very short amount of time, lots of these things happen quickly. So from the Christian point of view, you know, you have all these Christians coming from all these different backgrounds with all different belief systems, though a lot of people grown up in Christian homes. And I saw in our little Christian union how, as we kind of spent a lot of time together and God was doing things us and grew together, that the differences that we had from our different Christian backgrounds, and some people really didn't believe in certain things, others, kind of changed, and kind of still grew together in this time as we experience different things and work stuff out together. And so there was like this sense of unity and one mind. And out of that, you know, we had an excitement for what God was doing on the campus, and we saw like lots of our friends becoming Christians, which was amazing. And it's kind of like the perfect environment for these types of things to happen. And so, you know, that's why I think let's go for it with getting alongside Christian students on campus. But also, it's like, how do we create that in the society that most of us live in, which is in our culture, we don't have much natural community. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, people don't talk to each other, people don't even know who their neighbours are, all of that stuff that we know. And it's like, as I've been reflecting on that, I've been thinking about things like what we're doing with the hub, is kind of creates community. It's us going to intentionally create it, but it ends up creating something that is real. It's not fake. So, you know, the relationships that we're growing with the children there, the relationships that we're growing with other volunteers who don't come to our church, you know, we are building a kind of a community around it and engaging with people naturally and letting what we have flow out in a way that becomes something that's real. It's not fake, but we've kind of created it. So that's one thing. But then you've got other things. So say like the beehive, for example, which I know Laura in particular and John, but Laura has wonderful heart for the beehive. And obviously Richard does as well, and Linda. But and, you know, that's another place where, you know, a community kind of already exists. It's a place in our society where community builds around a pub. And, you know, obviously in that way people are coming and being part. You know, you're choosing to be part of community and got amazing friends there and doing life with them. So, I don't know, I'm just thinking that as a people who are reflecting the heart of God, which I believe is about building community, that it's like there are some times when we need to go and become part of communities that exist, like the pub or whatever, or there are places where we like can create it like we are at the hub. And it's not fake, because it's leading something real, but I think we need to be intentional about it. That's what I'm trying to say in all of this, that there's an intentionality about building community as the people of God. But we don't want it to have like, we want it to be very blurred edges, that we're just genuine people who are building community. And, you know, I just see such wonderful things that happen as we do it at the hub and as the village centre is here, has done that. You know, Karen, her journey towards God has come from like, you know, she said the first day she walked into the village centre, that was the beginning of her life changing. You know, she had some sense of a belief in God, but she'd been put off by what she, her experiences of church had been, and she got to become part of a community that was different by volunteering, and her whole journey we all know up to it. So there's like, I just feel we should go for that type of thing. Does that make sense? Oh yes, again, how can I intentionally live in daily community with Jesus at the centre? Okay, my final point. People joined them daily. That's, like, amazing. I want to make the point. This wasn't people praying a sinner's prayer daily. It was people joining their community who were on a journey to a relationship with Jesus. And that's what really stood out to me. You know, that's the impression I kept from reading this, that it's not about, oh, you know, like, so many people said this prayer. I'm not saying, you know, that that's a wrong thing to do. That can be a really important, significant thing for somebody. But actually, something about, you know, wanting people to join the community, the family of God, and be part of it, so that they can have a journey into relationship with Jesus and find all that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I see that as we do things like, you know, we've got the students on campus building community there, people like Laura and John and Richard and Linda building community at the Beehive, what we're doing with the hub, what's going on in the village centre, that as we build community, people are kind of joining us as well, and just naturally also within that finding Jesus. And, you know, I'm seeing that happen, and, you know, I see that happen more, but I just want to encourage us to be intentional about it, because, you know, like, I'm really so impressed by, you know, for example, with the zone that we do every week. You know, most of the people running the zone are from the journey, and people have made massive choices to give up their time to do it, come home from work early, change work hours around, and it's just amazing. But it takes a certain lifestyle that can enable those choices to be made that actually is going to bring something really significant to those children. And so, you know, that's just one example. There might be other things like that where we make those decisions not because we feel we have to, but because we want to share the love that we have, to build community and enable other people to be part of it in a natural way that they want to. And then in that, they find Jesus. For example, what you're doing in your pub. What's your pub called? I can't remember. Oh, yes. So basically, I just want us to think about that type of thing and to think, you know, for some of us, maybe the Holy Spirit is actually challenging us to change some things to enable us to build into community more. Because, you know, I just feel, you know, if you were to ask me what's the thing that I'm most passionate about what God has called us to as church, and it is community, because that's where I see that the life comes and can flow. So some questions for us to just consider. The first one, are there attitudes, straight ways of thinking or mindsets the Holy Spirit is challenging you on today? So things that might separate us or from being able to build community in the way that maybe the Holy Spirit is asking us to in this season. Are there the decisions the Holy Spirit is asking me to make? And what changes can I make? So they're kind of similar questions, really, but maybe different ones will connect with different people. And I just want us to take out a few minutes just by ourselves just to think about these things. So you might want to spread out and write things down. I was going to bring post-it notes, but I forgot things for people to write on. But let's just... oh, you've got some. Great. Thank you, Richard. It's like Richard read my mind.
2 minutes.
Okay. But... but yeah, so let's just, you know, you might want to find some space, and let's just think about these things, because all of us have got really important parts to play in seeing God's kingdom come. And it looks slightly different in different seasons, and God is always doing good things. And so, you know, there might be that you actually like, actually no, right now this is the right way for me to be going about my life. I know that I'm in the right place. But it might be that actually there's a few little changes to make or different ways of thinking. Just some time just to reflect on that. And it'd be good if people want to and feel able to, just to maybe share some of that, if anyone would like to.